Who is your competition? This is the topic for this week's episode, and trust me, it's not who you think it is.
We know it's 2021. Lots of things have happened. We've gone through a couple cycles of being up and down and up and down again. But what we're here today to do is, A, kick off our Whiteboard Wednesday series for 2021, mm-hmm. and continue to kick ourselves in the backside to do this every single Wednesday, to share tips and tricks that we've learned in the industry. We may have special guests. We'll bring different topics every single week. And we just want to share with what information that we know, and also get some feedback from you guys that are watching this.
Yeah, so. Now we cannot see if you guys have questions. So once in a while, I'm going to pop over to the other side of the screen, because if we flip the camera, you guys can actually read this. We've learned some lessons.
Yes. No more writing backwards for us.
So, but today we want to talk about who is your competition. So this is really important for marketing and sales, and we are really excited about this talk.
Yes, because, well, I know my competition, Sherry. It's every other agency out there, right?
You definitely think.
Am I not right?
You're not right. You're completely wrong.
Oh. Ooh. So this goes beyond just who your traditional competitors in your industry are.
For sure.
And who your competition is, not your competitor.
Yeah, but first, before we get in, we want to talk about positioning. Now, this is something we do often talk about, so you guys probably remember that. But just in case, Trevor's going to explain what the definition of positioning is.
Yeah, positioning, it kind of defines your product or service. As the leader in the industry that delivers something, a product or a service, to a well-defined audience that is looking for you a lot. So a couple things that are in there. So one, so positioning, I'm just gonna write this out. Defines, let me stop this from moving. Defines your product or service. As I'm going to say the leader or a leader, but I like to say the leader, delivering your thing, your product or service to a well-defined audience. Now, Sherry.
Who cares?
Who cares a lot? And I'm just going to underline a couple things, Sherry, and then you can kind of chat about it. Well defined and cares a lot. I think those are a couple key things in this.
Yeah, so the first thing we're going to talk about is the first half of this definition. Defining the product or service as the leader. So the words we often use is you want to be the expert in your industry.
I'm having my espresso.
You're very fancy
today.
Very
early this morning. Yeah, pinky up.
So you need to know what your defined service is. So this is where a lot of people falter, honestly. They're like, well, we offer this service. And we're like, that's too big. What's your number one service? Or when we talk to people, they'll be like, oh, we do photography. And then we'll be like, great. And they don't tell us their main moneymaker part. Maybe it's weddings. They like focus in on such a minuscule thing that won't actually make them a lot of money.
Or they're so high level, so they're at the 40,000 foot level. I'm a photographer, but sometimes the riches are in the niches. But so if you're a photographer and you focus on wedding photography, and maybe that wedding photography is, this would be before COVID, but destination weddings. Well, now that's a very specific audience who cares a lot about what you have to offer.
Yeah. So the second part of the definition is, so you're already the leader. We talk about this all the time. We don't want to beat a dead horse. But you're delivering to a well-defined audience. Yeah. So again, you're not talking to everybody because that will always kill you.
Know who your audience is. Sometimes we'll say the question, and Sherry, you'll act as the unsuspecting client across. Sherry, can you tell me who your customers are that you offer to?
Everyone. I want everyone.
And that is always the answer. And as business people, we fall into that as well. Because if you look at it, it can be everyone. Mm-hmm. But everyone is not just, hey, I did some work for a 75-year-old client, and then a 35-year-old client, and then a 20-year-old client, and someone lived out west, and someone lived out east. What our job is as business owners, and your job is figure out the commonality that brings them all together that attracted them to your product or service.
Exactly. And lastly, they need to care a lot about what you're offering. So this is when the competition comes into play.
Yes.
So to break it down, what we talked about earlier, like we think we have our competition. I can name other agencies. You can name other agencies.
Okay, so I had said that my competition is the competitors are the agencies in the area, and you said no.
Yeah.
So who would be, say, a competition for me then if it's not the other agency putting together a quote for the client?
All right, so that's your traditional idea of competitors, the other agencies.
Yep.
But really what your competitor is or who it is, it could be someone with a lot of time on their hand who wants to do their own GoDaddy or Shopify site.
Okay.
It's legit. It's someone who's like, you know what? I don't need a website. I have Facebook. That's your competition. Your competition is often the status quo.
So that would mean then if for yourself with the social media, the competition can be, hey, I've got two teenage kids, and they're going to do my Instagram account.
Yeah, so what really helped me, especially in the beginning of this process when I started Purple Bean, was simply I got told a lot of no's, and I said, oh, why is that? And they said, my wife is doing it. My receptionist is doing it. My niece and nephew, they're going to do it for me. What that showed me is, oh, the other agencies aren't my competition. I rarely lose a job to another agency. How I mainly lose my jobs when I'm in the sales pitch, it's to the status quo. And that is often, my wife handles it for me.
Yeah, or the kids.
Or the kids, or the receptionist, whoever.
Myself is, as you said, hey, GoDaddy. GoDaddy can help you do a web builder. Google will do a free website, just hit click. Yeah. And people assume that that's what they need, but they really do need so much more. But it's whoever's taking out the money. So if the money, I'm ready to give you money, but then I think, hold on, do I want to give it to Sherry or do I want to save it and do it myself? There it is. And I guess Ariel, my daughter, lovely daughter who works with me, instead of stopping at Tim Hortons to bring me a coffee, she made this at home. Yeah. So that in itself would be competition.
That's the perfect example. So we drive by, we drive by, both of us take the same route, basically, a McDonald's that serves coffee, Starbucks, and Tim Hortons.
Two Starbucks, two Tim Hortons, and a McDonald's.
Yeah, so I stop at the one Tim Hortons that's closest to our office. The only time I don't stop there is when, at home, my husband makes me a coffee, or I'm like, I'm running a little late, I'm going to make my own coffee today. Cool. So their competition isn't McDonald's, it's not Starbucks, it's literally me saying, I'm going to take the effort to do this.
Don't you have a Jumbo Espresso machine
at
your house?
I do, and I love it.
Yes. So that would also be competition. So in construction and trades.
Okay, let's talk. And if you guys have your, like, whatever your industry is, let us know. We will literally go through who your competition is. Because sometimes when you're in it, it's actually really hard to define.
Or post it below, and we'll help you out. But let's say that I'm in the flooring and carpeting industry, and I'm thinking that my competition is the other flooring companies. I was going to say florists. That sounds weird. The other flooring companies and the carpeting companies that are around town. So as long as I'm better than them, I'm okay. But what we're saying and what we're going to unpack here is it's not just the other, it's not Home Depot who's going to sell you a floor and hook you up with a contractor or another big one. It could be a father-in-law and a husband that decide that they're going to do the work themselves rather than spend $2,000.
Yeah. So oftentimes, again, it's either the status quo of who cares, our floors aren't that bad, let's wait till the kids are a little bit older because they're going to destroy it anyway. Yeah. That's why I'm not getting a new floor.
Yeah.
Or it's the, you know what, my husband can do this. And like it or not, a lot of husbands can do it. Will it be maybe as perfect as the people that do it professionally for like 40 hours a week? Probably not. Is it good enough? A lot of times, yes. So
then if we go back to here, a well-defined audience, someone who is handy might not be, in this case, your perfect customer.
In this specific case, if I was a flooring guy and I sat down with, I'm talking to a couple, and the husband had calloused hands.
Tradesman hands.
And he's like a construction guy. I wouldn't spend too much time there because I know I'm going to lose out to him because that makes sense. Who I want to see sitting across the table is a husband and wife or in a tie who they're just too busy. The wife's like, I don't want to live in construction for 2 weeks while he figures out how to do this on YouTube. I just want it done. I want to leave, visit my mom, come back, boom. Done. And you want him to be the guy who's like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know anyone who does it. I do want to pay though to have it done.
Yeah. And that also comes back to the understanding of your customer, and there's a rating chart of, you know, 5 or 7 or 10 on the knowledge scope of your industry. The 5, those are the people that don't buy into your industry. They're the late adopters. They don't buy into it. They don't see the value of it. And that the 7, that's the person that understands the value of it, but doesn't really know too much about it, but knows that he has it. And then the 10 is the person that knows, hey, not as much as you, but they watch YouTube videos on your industry. They know that it's important. Oftentimes people think the 10 is the right client, but the 10 is not the right client. That's that person that's going to be the do-it-yourselfer. That's also the person that may be over your shoulder the whole time and questioning everything that you do. Mm-hmm. The 5 is not your client either, because that person doesn't see the value in what you do. It's the 7 that's the client. Somebody who understands the value of what you do and doesn't understand it enough to do it themselves.
Yep, that's exactly
and
right.
That is who your perfect client is, and therefore that person is not your competition.
Yep. And so how this ties to sales, when you're sitting across the table pitching your service, you need to know who you're pitching against. And again, oftentimes it's not the other agencies, because let's face it, there's a few things that you'll do better than them. That's not your big defining pitch. You have to know, if you weren't around, what would they be doing? Or what are they currently doing? So a lot of times, again, you're fighting against the status quo. I know I'm fighting a lot against the receptionist and interns and people like that. Accountants often fight against the spouses doing the people's work or the in-laws. There's a lot of people who kind of fight against that. Have you ever sat down and pitched against those people? That's how you do your sales.
Well, and at the end of the day, it's almost impossible. Going back to the trade space, if it's your father-in-law or your husband, you're living with them day after day after day. They want to do a good deed. Mm-hmm. The professional salesperson already knows that it's an uphill battle for him to get it, mm-hmm. and that, so it might be a tough sale. You might want to try to get them to understand that the value of your husband spending the time with you, or your father-in-law relaxing at home and having this job done and it's guaranteed. That's kind of your sales pitch for that. But this is why it's so important to understand who your perfect customer is, because if you're sitting in front of that perfect customer, so that's somebody who doesn't have a receptionist. Or maybe that receptionist is already too busy and is buried, that is not married to a tradesperson, that is not interested in going to Wix and all that. Starting to understand who that perfect customer is starts to help you increase your conversions in sales. Yeah. And that really is, at the end of the game, or at the end of the day, that really is the game that we're all in, is how do we convert more sales? It's understanding who your customer is, and understanding who your competition is, and positioning yourself as the leader in the industry.
Exactly. So the call to action today is really sit down and figure out who truly is your competition. How do you know that? Who are you losing jobs to? That's your competition. It could be other agencies, could be other construction guys, but maybe it's a little different than you think. It could be the status quo thing, or it could just be people that can do it themselves.
Understand who your competition is. Start writing it down and start understanding how you can overcome those objections, because that is what, when it comes to sales, their objection is going to be, I can get it done with my husband, or I can have it done with, I can sit on GoDaddy for the next 2 weeks after hours and do the website.
All right, perfect. So next week we'll do another Whiteboard Wednesday. If you have any suggestions, please let us know, because we can go with anything.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you then. Let us know if there's any questions.